I'm going to do my very best not to drool through this interview, I promise. But you got to listen to Robin and her chocolate story. Stay tuned. Hey, thanks for joining me. I'm Gabbin Gale, and this is a Gale Foley Show where I interview people sharing their success stories and their passion, inspiring you on your journey to success. And in between interviews, I'll share motivational moments, always cheering you on as you achieve your mission. So be sure to subscribe to my channel, The Gale Foley Show, and hit me up on Twitter at Gale Foley, hashtag Gabbin Gale. So speaking of Gabbin, let's get on with it.
Oh my goodness, I am so wound up today. Oh my goodness, I've just been tasting chocolate all morning, and that is because I am a confessed chocoholic. And so it is indeed my pleasure to have my friend, a master chocolatier, on the show today. Robin Rice Foster, also known as Le Parisien du Chocolat, I'm sure she'll pronounce that better for me, blends love and a great appreciation of chocolate to create handcrafted, exquisite, silk-rich, sensuous, and decadent chocolates for those who expect nothing less than perfection. Le Parisien Zian has been creating artisan chocolate since 2007, and Gale just tasted them for the first time in 2014, and oh my goodness, I just love Robin's chocolates, and so let me introduce you to her right now. Chocolate tier master Robin, hello, how are you today?
Hi Gabby, I'm doing just great, and yourself?
Oh, I'm fabulous, just absolutely fabulous. Now, you and I have had a very long conversation. We actually met on LinkedIn. Anybody that has chocolate in the name of their business catches my attention. And so I read her bio, I read all of her awards, I read her passion, and I thought, man, I have got to talk to this woman. So we had a phone call. What, we were on the phone for like an hour? I mean, just incredible. So I know your story, but I want you to share your story. I know you didn't fall out of bed one morning and say, hey, I'm going to do this. This is my passion. I'm going to be this master chocolatier and win all these awards. How did actually all this begin?
It began at an early age. My mom always made everything from scratch, you know, her breads, her cakes, her pies down to the crust, and I used to watch her, and she was very passionate about it. She would take her time, and she would stand there and make these pies, and people used to ask her to make pies for them for the holidays. And growing up in a household, you know, this was something very special. My mom always cooked dinner every day. I watched her cook. I watched her make the pies, the cakes. And I got to start doing that myself as I started getting older and older. And it's just a passion of the culinary arts, because when you make something, it's like this is something that you created yourself, and you want to show the love. And I feel like the love has to come through with the food so people can enjoy it, and they will fall in love with it as well.
Very cool.
As a child, we used to subscribe to Life and Look magazine, and I always had this passion by looking at what was happening in Paris, France. And so as I got into high school, I started taking French and all this other good stuff, and I always had dreams about one day I would be walking down the Champs-Élysées, and I would be able to go to all these places I read about and all this architect. And then it finally happened one day back in 2005 on a trip to Paris, France.
Wow. Okay, you skipped right from high school to going to Paris. What happened right after high school? Was that immediately then?
Oh no! I have to say my age, I guess. No, when I was a graduate from high school, at that time I could read, write, and speak French fluently.
I could
write paragraphs and read the books. And one day I talked to my mother. I said, "You know, I would like to go to Paris." She said, "No, no daughter of mine is going to go off to Paris, France, to a country where they don't speak English." And lo and behold, my senior counselor was saying, "Well, Robin, you're very good. I think you should go to college and major in home economics." And at that point, I was like a little rebel. I said, "Oh, well, how dare you? I'm going to go to college to become a doctor or a lawyer." So I set out on the fast track to become this doctor. I was going to be the first, you know, female in the Supreme Court, et cetera, et cetera. But along the way, I would always have parties. When I went off to college, and my friends would be like, "What is Robin going to make, you know, for her party?" And I started having little themes, and I would make everything about the presentation. My mother said, "As long as the presentation looks good, it may not taste good, but people be really floored by the presentation." And I just sometimes carried over, even with my son. He has this thing himself about presentation when he's cooking, and everything has to be set up just right. And it took a while to get to Paris, France in 2005. You know, of course, I was, you know, just totally floored. You know, of course, the Eiffel Tower, the Louvre, and all these places. But I stumbled up on a couple of chocolate shops, like the oldest pastry shops in Paris. One was Monfrit, and the other was La Durie. And they're known all over the world for the French macaroons. And when I went there and sampled one, I thought I had died and went to heaven. Then I started running around trying to find other chocolate shops. And then you had La Maison du Chocolat. And, you know, everybody knows Pierre Hermé. It's Picasso chocolate. And the windowscapes were so beautiful. It's like, can you really eat this? Or is it just there for display? And it was just like, oh, my God, I really want to do this. But prior to that, I had a successful bread business. But with this whole low-carb diet, people were not ordering as many breads as they used to. So I decided to flip the script and focus on chocolate. So when I came back from France, I moved temporarily to Tennessee. But while I was there, I started gathering all types of books about chocolate and studying. Then I took a class with the École du Chocolat, and I graduated with honors from Les Arts du Chocolat Professionnel in 2007, and then I went back to France that same year, twice in 1 year, to study, or they would say stage, the Chocolate Masters, doing the Chocolate Masters competition that runs coincide with the Salon du Chocolat. And that was my first time ever getting a meeting Mr. Pierre Hermé himself, talking to his students, even though they were speaking to me in French and in English, because some of their classes are in French, but they realized I was trying to remember French, and they were just tickled pink, and one thing led to another. I said, this is my world, this is my passion and my love. So when I make my chocolates, I put my love and my passion into it.
So you just live, eat, and breathe chocolate, because obviously having it is a passion, but you also learn the skills of doing so much more. And you shared with me that one of the things that you've added to your chocolate is you've added fruits in there, like your beautiful, wonderful truffle that I had this morning, where that isn't quite so prevalent over there in France. Is that what you shared, or did I hear wrong?
Yes, that is correct. They do a lot of fruit with their chocolates at times, but you have to realize, I can't speak for all chocolate shops, but the people I'm in love with, my mentors, as I would say, they do a lot of chocolate ganaches with subtle flavors, but I think what really impressed the teachers, we had to come up with a chocolate line for class, and at that time, everybody's using teas and spices, and every time I chime in, they were like, oh, that's so old and passé. So I decided, Robin, take a step back. Think about what you know from your childhood. So for my graduation truffle that we had to present, I did a whiskey pecan truffle that was enrolled in dark chocolate and then rolled into pecans. But the inside of the ganache was good old Gentleman Jack Daniels.
Oh, my goodness.
And I did a piña colada chocolate truffle. It was a white chocolate dish between two little pieces of round chocolate, but the cream filling itself was piña colada with pineapple and coconut.
Oh, my goodness.
And
I have to tell you.
Then I followed up and did a sweet potato pie. And I did everything my mom used to do, and those were the three I submitted, and the teacher was just blown away.
Oh, yeah. They would never have tasted anything like that, I'm sure. That's fabulous. And then you went on to become a master chocolatier. In your bio you sent me, you said you became a master chocolatier by visiting the cocoa plantations. Is that a requirement to get that title or that honor?
Well, there's two ways you can do that. You can visit the cocoa plantation and go through more rigorous testing and mass production. But I know that I'm not going to become a mass producer of chocolate like the Nestle's and the Barry Callebaut's of the world. But I learn about from the bean to the pod to the actual making. So you get to see this fruit, and on the inside it's like a white pulp, this is what people die for and crave for, what's inside of the fruit, which is the cocoa pod itself. It's little fleshy, white little seeds, and that's where our chocolate comes from.
So the chocolate bean is actually considered a fruit?
They call it a fruit.
Wow. I did not know that. How interesting. My goodness. So you started your own business now, and your awards are just, they just go on and on and on. So tell me about your very first award that you won and how that made you feel.
I was, first of all, I'd heard about the AIDS Foundation Chicago. They have this huge chocolate event every year called the World of Chocolate, and they bring in all the chocolate chefs, the pastry shops, and it's to help donate, raise money for the organization. My sister-in-law called me one day. She said, "Robin, I got an invitation for the World of Chocolate. I'm going to give it to you." She said, "If you would like to go, you have to buy a ticket, and if you want to mission, they had this World Chocolate Bliss competition." It was the first year they ever held the World Chocolate Bliss competition. I said, "Okay, I go ahead and do it." I said, and I contacted the agency, and I came up with three different kinds, and they said, "We only can submit one." And I'm like, "Well, they're all good." She said, "Well, they all sound good, but we only can submit one." So I'm like, "Okay, Robin, follow your first mind. Be like your mom used to tell you. Follow your God's mind. Follow what you believe in the most." So I did a milk chocolate sweet potato pie truffle. I went out and bought little candy boxes, little candy cups. I put the name of my company on there. I put a ribbon around it. And I go in, and the line was extremely long. And then I saw people had platters with plates and plastic wrap and bags. And I'm like, "Wow, okay." And I gave them my name, and I handed off the box. So that night, they were walking around. I'm laughing and talking. I saw some of the judges. And, you know, they kept waiting, giving out other announcements for the best savory chocolate, the best design. And they said, "Now for the final award, the first time ever, the World of Chocolate Bliss competition, the winner goes to," and I'm way in the back of the room, and I'm short. It was about over 1,000 or more people. They said, "Robin Rice Foster for her, oh, my God, milk chocolate sweet potato pie." And I said, "Oh, my God." And I start laughing, and I was crying, and I was laughing.
Oh,
they said, "Is she here? Has she left?"
Oh.
And people turn around. I'm like, "I'm here. I'm here."
Oh,
they said, "We hear a voice way in the back of the room." I said, "I'm here. I'm here." They brought me up on stage. I introduced myself, and I got the award, the flag.
Oh, how awesome. It gave me goosebumps. You're telling that story. That's just fantastic. I mean, you went in there not knowing anything and came out the top one. That is wonderful. That is so exciting.
Just, all the way home that night, I was calling everybody, waking people up. I said, "Guess what? I won. The first time chocolate bliss competition. And lo and behold, that was the first time they had it. I was the first winner and the only winner.
Oh, my goodness. Now, you're in Chicago, right?
Yes, I am.
You're in Chicago now. So
I
saw somewhere on your accomplishments the name Oprah Winfrey. Did I see that?
Yes.
Right? Tell me about
that. Well, everybody was telling me, you know, get in front of Oprah. I said, okay, Oprah's hard to get in front of.
Mm-hmm.
And so one day I took it upon myself. I was at home. I just started calling Harpo Studios over and over. One lady said, "Well, you cannot come on the sidewalk where the studio is located. You can always stand across the street." And I guess I'm sitting here like, "Excuse me?" And she said, "What do you mean, excuse me?" I said, "You expect for me to stand across the street?" "Oh, yes." I said, "I don't think so." So I kept asking for someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And then they transferred me to this gentleman. He said, "Hi, Robin." And I'm like, "Hello." He said, "How can I help you?" And I'm like, "How do you know my name?" He said, "Oh, I have magical skills." And I'm starting to freak out, like, "Who is this?" He said, "Okay, it comes across in caller ID." He said, "How can I help you?" I was on the phone for about a good half hour, and I told him what I would like to do. He said, "I tell you what." He said, "They sound marvelous." He said, "Make your best of the best. Bring it to the studio on this certain day, and we will have these presented to Oprah Winfrey. The guests will be Drew Barrymore, Cameron Diaz, Sean Combs, Jake Gyllenhaal's sister was there. Of course, Gail was there. At the time, Art Smith was still there. And so I went a step and beyond for Miss Oprah. I did some breads that were low carb and some chocolates. I went around to various stores and found a satchel that was made out of wood and leather.
Mm-hmm.
Had her name engraved on it because it reminded me of the color purple.
Mm-hmm.
I gave a box to her private chef, Art Smith. It was an artsy type of chef box, and also to the other young gentleman. He said everybody loved it.
Oh, I can imagine they would. That's
and I was
awesome.
So excited. I had told my son about it. He proceeded to all his friends up at Michigan State. They bombarded his room just to see, to hear Oprah mention his mother's name. And he's sitting there, and he kept calling me. He said, Mom, the show's going to wrap up. I haven't heard your name. I said, you know what? If she doesn't say my name, it doesn't matter because I know she's had my products.
Exactly. That is so cool because so many people try to get that foot in the door and aren't, you know, they get the same message. You can't cross the street. You can't do this. You know, she doesn't have the time. But to even have that open door to present your products and the entrepreneur nature that you have and how you went out and you were so creative with that, that's just amazing to me because you're not just, you package, you make that presentation, like you say, very, very special. And I gotta ask you to share the story about when you walked in to see the banker. You gotta share this story. This is just too good a story.
I walked in to see the banker one day. I was trying to take care of some business, and I have an account in my corporate name. And at first he was like, okay. And so when I left the bank the first day, he went online and Googled, and he said, oh, my God. He said, first he put my name in. He said, hey, take a look at this. 5 pages, 6 pages, Robin Rice Foster, Robin Rice Foster, World of Chocolate, La Prison du Chocolat, Robin's homepage, about Robin. And he's like, oh, my God. And so I had made some extra chocolates, and I told him the next time I see him, I bring him a sample. Well, lo and behold, I walked to the bank 2 days later. He said, do you have the chocolates?
Said, yes.
He literally sat there. He told another client, he said, well, you have to wait about 5 or 10 minutes. He's just a client of ours, and I need to really speak with her. He sat there like, oh, my. Because I had told him how you're supposed to eat a chocolate. You have to see it, taste it, you know, visualize it first, and then smell it. And I said, you put it in your mouth, you hold it over your on your tongue, you move it around slowly to start to get the mouth feel of the chocolate before you start to chew. But he remembered that. He was passing out my chocolates to the customers. He gave some all to the tellers. And he was telling them, now, this is how you're supposed to do this. You don't supposed to bite into it like just a regular old candy bar. This is what you call a chocolate truffle. And everybody was cracking up. They said he was telling everybody the same story. He said he even had like a little show and demonstration in the bank. This is how you're supposed to eat chocolate.
And you told him that he needed to become one with the chocolate.
Yes.
Yes, yes. Well,
yes,
first I have this
love of it.
Yeah. When I was talking to Robin the first time, I told her that my husband's not allowed to have a really good chocolate because he typically takes a chocolate piece of anything and it's, you know, it's like one chew and it's swallowed. So when I get really, really good chocolate, I really can't let him have it because I will take a piece of chocolate that's really good and I will nibble it and cherish it and savor it for quite a long time, so I tend to hide my chocolates. So she says that when she sat down in front of this guy, she threw that piece of chocolate in her mouth and says, this is how most people eat the chocolate, and she perfectly described my husband. So chocolate, you know, I just did a video. And for those of you that are listening that haven't seen the video yet, you can find that on the podcast. I have that on there on my podcast page, but I literally took samples that she sent me that are just, oh my goodness, you can literally turn the, not even look at the picture of me doing this, you can just listen to me and you can hear me going, oh my goodness, this is so good, because these are the most exquisite. I mean, the caramel, oh, I gotta tell you, Robin, that caramel, she makes her own caramel, and this is sea salt with I had to do the taste test and I had to cleanse my palate and they didn't want to take that taste away. It is the best caramel. I mean, I don't know how you knew what to send me, but you sent me, I love caramel, I love almonds, and I love bananas. So she sends me one with all those in one truffle, and then the other one, oh my goodness. So those of you that are listening and love chocolates, you need to pay attention when we give her information here in a few minutes. But before we do that, do you have any other favorite stories you'd like to share, Robin?
I guess my other favorite story was when I was commissioned to make chocolate truffles for Quincy Jones.
Ooh.
I got a phone call one day from a high-profile person here in Chicago, who I shall remain nameless. She knows the Oprahs and everybody of the world, so we don't want them to know that she did not have me to make truffles for them personally. But if they're listening, they're pretty sure they can figure this one out. And when she called me, I said, Quincy Jones. And she said, yes. I said, really? And she's like, yes. I said, okay. I said, I'm not trying to sound ignorant, but you mean the real Quincy Jones, Quincy Jones, Michael Jackson, Quincy Jones. She said, yes, that's the one and only. I said, well, so our people name the children after famous people. I just want to make sure. And it was the real Quincy Jones himself. He had the Fruit Exotique chocolates made with the imported Grand Marnier with all these specialty fruits, and he also had the sweet potato pie. And since he travels all over the world and goes to many places, I'd have a special box I had ordered that looked like a world of map of all the places he's toured and been in the lower left-hand corner, a little piece of Chicago. And I put the chocolate truffles in the box and shipped them, and he was told he was floored. That was the best chocolates he ever had.
That is awesome. That is just, you just have that. I could go on and on about your creativity and your passion, but it's just, you can feel that this is what you are all about, just a business for you. Love, true love of what you do and what you share with people, because like you said, your mother's being brought up with your mom, who just loved feeding people, and then you go on in high school and do that, and then to transition, and all the paths took you to Paris, where you always wanted to go. What a great message for people that have been told, you got to visualize, there you go, you did that, and look where it's brought you. I just think it's an absolutely incredible story.
You have to visualize and hold on to your dreams and your passion. And I know we have to wrap this up. Never let anyone take your dreams or passions from you. And if you're passionate about loving, the love has to come through. And with that love, other people also start to love your passion.
Absolutely. Wiser words could not have been said. You're absolutely right. So many people get knocked down one time when somebody says, oh, you can't do that. And you really have to get back up and just know you've got something special to share with the world. And so in talking about sharing with the world, what I'd like to do now, Robin, is if you'd like to give your contact information, and then I want everyone to know that's listening. I know sometimes, depending on where you're listening, you can't always write this information down, but if you go to GailFoleyShow.com, and that's Gail, GailFoley, show.com, and you go to the podcast page, you'll see Robin's interview there, and all of her contact information is right there. And I got to tell you, if you love chocolates, you better be visiting that page and go to her website, because you got to have some of this chocolate. So go ahead and give it to them verbally, and then I will post it again on my website.
Okay, the name of my company is La Parisienne du Chocolat. And that's La in Paris, Parisienne, du, and chocolate without the E. Or you can also reach me at info@laparisienneduchocolat.com or by my toll-free number, 888-773-7870.
And they can order directly from your site, correct?
They can order directly from my site. I'm featuring right now the chocolates that you had, which was the dark chocolate caramel sea salt, the dark chocolate caramel banana almond truffle, and the dark chocolate banana cream pie truffle. Each week, I'll be adding a new flavor, pie profile flavor, to the website.
Very awesome. Well, she gave me a beautiful little box of these truffles, and I've had several, and I promised myself to save a couple for my daughters for Mother's Day, but boy, they're my name. So I got to be really careful that I just don't pass my refrigerator too often. Because she tells you exactly how to take care of the chocolates when you get them. It's not just open the box and eat them. You just have to follow her directions so you become one with the chocolate. And of course,
chocolate.
Yeah, you got to become one with the chocolate. And she has a great saying that any day, what is it? Give it, Robin.
Any day is a perfect day for chocolate.
Wonderful. And that's a perfect way for us to finish up for today. I so appreciate you Robin, and I want the audience that's listening, please, 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 do Robin a great big favor and share this with all of your social media contacts. Send it to anybody that you know that loves chocolate. Make sure that if you've got an email list, you spread the word, post it on Facebook. We want to get the word out to get more people aware of this incredible, decadent, sensuous, delicious chocolate that Robin produces. So please, please, please do that. We will appreciate it. And Robin, you're welcome to say goodbye at this point and share any final thought you might have.
Thanks so much, Gail, for having me on your talk show. It's been lots of fun. It's been a pleasure speaking with you. And remember one thing, follow your dreams, follow your passions, show the love, and remember always, any day is a perfect day for chocolate.
Oh, thank you so much, Robin, and thank you everybody for tuning in and sharing with this, because the purpose of Gabbin with Gail is to grow your business. Bye-bye.
Hey, I just wanted to add this quick PS on here. I wanted to tell you, first of all, thank you so much for being a follower and a listener. I so appreciate you. So I haven't said it in a while. I want to say it now. And I also want to give you a heads up on the fact that I have transitioned the GailFoleyShow.com to WordPress blog posting program that allows me to actually host and post my show right there. So now you can go right to that page. You don't have to go to another page to see the guest information. It's all right there encompassed with the recording. So if you're following me on here, I want to let you know that in about 20 days, I will be completely transitioned over. So if you want to keep following me, I really would love for you to go over to that page, subscribe. If you're an iTunes follower, I will be posting a new iTunes feed here very quickly. Part of the reason is I want to brand myself as Gabbin with Gail or Gabbin Gail. And in order to do that, I had to transfer over, transition, get a little bit more professional with how I'm presenting this. And it's all to your benefit, because now you only have to go to one place to hear me, to hear the shows, to hear the interviews, to get their information, to find out what resources I'm using. So please, 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 if you want to continue following me, and I so hope you do, that's what's going on. So I just wanted to give you a heads up that if you come in here, you don't see any more new shows, that's because they're all on my new platform. So just go over to the GailFoleyShow.com and you won't miss a thing. And thank you again. You have no idea how much you've made my life very special and how much I so appreciate you. I can't put it into words. That's all I can tell you. I just cannot say it enough. Thanks. All right, that's a wrap on today's show. Remember, let's connect on Twitter at Gail Foley, hashtag Gabbin Gail. And remember, you can visit thegailfoleyshow.com to subscribe to my channel so you won't miss a single inspirational moment. And please remember to share this with all your social media connections so that we can spread the word on something that might help someone else in their journey to success. Thanks again for tuning in. This is Gabbin Gail asking you to do me one big favor. Pass on a smile today. It's contagious, you know. You'll make a difference in someone's life. Bye-bye.